A reading from the Holy Gospel
according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and he stood in their midst. And he said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. His disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and went on to say, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And whose sins you retain, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. I would like to take one brief moment to commend our lectors. I have lectors at many masses and our lectors today. And the lectors very diligently prepare these readings, and they are expressed in an articulate form in a spirit of faith. So thank you very much to our lectors. Sometimes you hear people preaching or making proclamations, you don't know what they're saying. So it's very important to have some kind of an erudite, faith-filled proclamation of God's word. Second thing, sometimes I preach from the ambo and people said, "No, we'd prefer if you preach from the middle." So I came to the middle and then they said, "We can't see you at the back." So I said, "Okay, maybe I'll move up here. And if anybody has any prompting to offer me, I'll be glad to hear from you after Mass." Let me look at this Pentecost event and try to shape it into something interesting and something that might be meaningful for us in our own lives. Let me go back into the life of Christ first so we understand its origin. There are three great feasts in the Jewish tradition: the Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Now, Jesus, being a devout Jew, and all adult male Jews were mandated by Levitical law to go up to Jerusalem for these three great feasts. And Jesus, being a devout Jew, would have observed that. They went up to Jerusalem. By the way, up is important. Jerusalem is about 23 or 24 feet above sea level. So they're going up to Jerusalem. Or you read Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, where you have the Good Samaritan, and he said he's going from Jerusalem down to Jericho. Jericho, the lowest point in the earth, is next to Jericho at the Dead Sea. Jericho, the oldest and the lowest city below sea level in the world. So Jesus would have gone up to Jerusalem for these three great feasts. Look at Pentecost. Pentecost is mentioned five times in the Old Testament. The Torah, which is the written law for the Jews, the first five books of the Old Testament, beginning with the book of Genesis. You remember the creation story and all that. The Noah and the flood, all that's Genesis. Not mentioned in Genesis, but Pentecost is mentioned in the next four books, in Exodus, Leviticus, book of Numbers, and the book of Deuteronomy. Mentioned five times. So Pentecost has an enormous, important history for the Jewish people in the time of Jesus. However, way back in the Jewish tradition, it's not called Pentecost. It's called Shavuot. And it's also called the Feast of Weeks, because it takes place 50 days after the Passover. 7 times 7, that's 49, and the 50th day would be Shavuot, their remembrance of this great feast. Now, Originally, it was a harvest feast, the wheat harvest. The first fruits of the wheat harvest would be brought up to offer and sacrifice at the temple. But of course, the temple isn't there anymore. It was destroyed in the year 70. Solomon built a temple way back 700 years before Christ, and that was destroyed by the Babylonians, and then it was rebuilt after the exile, and that was destroyed in the year 70 by the Romans. No temple anymore. All that's left of the temple is the Wailing Wall. You kind of saw President Trump was there recently. He went to the wall to pray. That's all that's left of the temple. So it's very sacred to the Jews, the Western Wall of the temple. And therefore, because there's no temple, the mandate about the Jews going up to Jerusalem for these three great feasts is no longer in force. Now, the Jews dream about building a new temple in Jerusalem, and if the temple is built, the mandate will come back about going up to Jerusalem for the three great feasts. So not called Shavuot, it's called Pentecost, but Pentecost comes from a Greek word meaning 50, and it's 50 days after Easter that Pentecost takes place. Now, if you look at the very last words Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke, and the first mandate in the book of Acts, and as you know, Luke wrote both of these, it says, "Stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you." That's what Jesus said to his disciples. Stay in Jerusalem until the Spirit comes upon you. Now, biblically, Jerusalem is your place of destiny. That's a biblical image of Jerusalem. Place of destiny for Jesus, the place of destiny for all the followers of Christ. Therefore, it will be a place of testing, a place of suffering, a place of dying, and a place of rising to new life, and a place where the Holy Spirit comes upon the first gathering of the church. So Jerusalem, the place of destiny. Stay in Jerusalem, Jesus says, until you are born again in the Spirit, and then you will go out and preach. Now that's some background on the meaning of Pentecost. Now let me draw a teaching for us. The Spirit came upon the early church, the gathering, and they're so enlivened by the Spirit, it says, they go out and they preach. And many people from various places, because all the Jews came for the Feast of Shavuot, they came up to Jerusalem, they came from the Elamites, they were from Mesopotamia, they spoke many languages, but they all heard the proclamation in their own language. What does this mean? There are various explanations, but the most attractive for me and the most persuasive for me is this. I'll take you back to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. And in chapter 11, in the book of Genesis, there's a story there that you will remember. It's after the flood, and Noah and his family survived the flood. Okay, and now they're all together, and they go into what's called the land of Shinar. I'm not sure exactly where that is, but it's the land of Shinar. Now, and they speak one language. It says, we speak one language, just one language. We are God's people. We are the only ones who are God's people. This is in the story. So they decide, we'll show the world. We're going to build a tower, and it will reach all the way to the heavens. And we'll build the biggest city, and it will give a testimony to our greatness. And remember what happens? They're building the Tower of Babel, and God sees their arrogance. What does he do? He has them all speak a different language. The arrogance of saying they're the only ones who have God, and God says, no, no, no. God appears in many languages. The gospel comes alive, many cultures, many languages. And the same thing comes at Pentecost. because all of these various people from various places hear the word of God in their own language. Somehow, in the power of the Spirit, the word of God comes alive to a person in their own language. What does this mean to us? It means the word of God comes alive to you wherever you find yourself in life. You're old, you're young, you're struggling, you're anxious, you're divorced, you're remarried, you're gay, you're whatever you are. You're an undocumented person, whoever you are. The word of God speaks to you in your language. Wherever you find yourself in life, you're Jerusalem. Oh, the Spirit comes upon you, and the word of God will be given to you in the place where you find yourself. So set aside the arrogance that says we're the only ones to whom God has spoken. The arrogance that allowed us to make judgments about people, to shut people out, to separate families, to break communities. That's not the teaching of Pentecost. The teaching of Pentecost touches every one of us in some way. And it says, but hear God's revelation in the language of the place where you find yourself in life. I have this experience in my own life. When I was in sin and I failed in life, I heard the voice of God saying, but you're my son. You're my beloved son. Be forgiven. Be healed. Be made whole. The voice of the Spirit spoke to me. When I was anxious and I was uncertain and I was struggling to find meaning in my life, I heard the voice of God saying, let the Spirit come upon you and reassure you. Let the Spirit calm your inner person. Let the Spirit give you the peace that Jesus Christ speaks about in the gospel reading. And in our second reading from St. Paul to Corinth, he said, in the community of believers, there's no Jew or Greek, and he'll go on to say no male or female. We're all God's people. We're all God's people. It isn't like we have a corner on God's revelation. We're all God's people. And when I was blessed, and I have been blessed with great abundance in my life, great consolation. Now God lifted up my spirit, gave me vision, confidence, made my life meaningful. I heard the voice of God saying, go out and rejoice, sing. Give thanks to the Lord and tell the world about God's infinite love for all people. That's the voice of the Spirit speaking through every one of us somehow, wherever we find ourselves. So wherever you are in your life, you might be carrying a conflict inside of you, some unhealed wound, somebody you need to forgive. Let the power of the Spirit lift you up and set you free. You might be anxious about something. You might have felt betrayed in your life. Somebody let you down. And you're bitter. You're anxious. You're angry. Let the Spirit come upon you to set you free, to give you peace of soul. In the spiritual life, we speak about a soul, a spirit within us, which is disturbed, a spirit which is conflicted. And then we speak about a spirit which is peaceful. And it's easy. We don't have to explain it. I know when my spirit is peaceful. I feel the fullness of God in me. I feel the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I know when the Spirit is diminished in my life, when I'm conflicted, I'm angry, I'm jealous, or I'm struggling, and I'm fearful about the future, whatever it is, let the Spirit come upon you. As the Spirit came at Pentecost and said, I know these disciples, you're full of fear. You're full of anxiety. You're afraid to go out and witness God to the world. Let the Spirit come upon you, and you go out and you begin to preach, and you will preach in a language so powerful, so loving, so infinitely a proclamation of God's infinite love, that all people, whoever they are, will hear the living Word of God. And when that happens to us, we are now walking as disciples in the power of the Spirit. And life is good. Amen.